Shame is undone. let's all stand and sing Cause Me to Come. We have our brother Daniel.
Cause me to come to the river, O Lord. Cause me to come to the river, O Lord. And cause me to come to the river, O Lord. Cause me to come and cause me to drink and cause me to live. Cause me to drink at the river.
Recognize that we have an adversary of the devil. Walk up to the pulpit, and my tablet decided to want to do an update. Thank you, Lord, anyhow. we'll pull out the old Bible. That's how it gets ready to go on there. That's funny. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes a preacher might think he knows where he's going to go, and Lord says, uh-uh. I look down and like, oh my goodness. I tell you what, I count it a privilege to be among you. Let's go to Psalms 91, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. I want to speak to you on tonight on abiding in God's nature. Abiding in God's nature. And I want to say again, that's so good to see the God family. God bless you guys. Mm-hmm. Such good friends. We've been friends for a long time. Friends with Josh a little longer. Known Josh on this side of the river longer, but we were all together on the other side. We went next to Joe, there's the stars. We're dancing, but you know, when we met Sister Bethany, just went right with it, you know, just a perfect match. So I do count it a privilege, and God bless each one of y'all. I know y'all made sacrifices to be here, and we appreciate that. And I know there's a lot of the saints at home that want to be here, but they can't because of the distance and things, and we completely understand those things. So let's go to Psalms chapter 91, read verses 1 through 7. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. But thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, I ask you to just take control of the service, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you that I give myself over to you wholly and completely, Lord.
ask you to use the gift that you put in my life, Lord. I didn't put it there. Lord, it's nothing I've never tried to do. You know, I've tried to run from it many, many times. I tried to quit, tried to say I'm not going to do it anymore. But Lord, you just pick me right back up and you lead me again, Lord. And Lord, I'm here because of you, Lord. I'm here for your people. I ask you that you'd speak to each heart now and be in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And speaking on the abiding in the nature, in God's nature. And you know, all animals have a nature. All people have a nature. And you know, a duck's got a certain nature about him. And I remember growing up on a farm, we had a bunch of ducks. And I thought that would be really awesome. I remember the first time we saw him, Brother Josh, we went to Atwoods. And back then they had a little water tank that you could have ducks inside there. And we thought they were just the prettiest little things you ever saw. Well, we lived out in the country and had a creek where we'd go swimming and stuff. But we had advanced at that time, and we got one of those kiddie pools that's about that tall, the blue ones, the little round ones. How many knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, it was a great little pool. We thought that was an awesome thing, and we thought this cute little duck was amazing and cute little thing. Well, you can take a guess on what them ducks did to my pool. Right. And we learned real quickly that we didn't like ducks anymore. You know, ducks have got a nature about them. There's something about them, the way they do it. Birds have natures about them. You know, a robin's got one nature. A scissor-tailed flycatcher's got another nature. You know, you look at a turkey, he's got a nature about him. All nature, and I love to go out into the woods because, to me, it brings you back to who you are. Right. And sitting out there watching at the animals, and I remember sitting on the parking lot where I'd be working at is watching for a customer to come through. And I remember watching birds and different things. And I remember seeing a bird from afar sitting on a telephone pole. From a distance, you really couldn't tell. It just looked like any other kind of small bird. You really couldn't identify it. But what brought out the identification of that bird is when he began to fly. Right. Because there's something about the way a dove flies. And I said, oh my goodness, that's a dove. And my manager said, that ain't no dove. He said, you're blindest guy here in the law. You can't see nothing. You know, he's probably right. And that thing, sure enough, come through there. And guess what it was? It was a dove. You know, something about it's the way, you know, when people are sitting still, they all look the same. Like, you all look the same. If you go to Walmart, they're going to look the same. Some dressed a little crazier than others, but they're the same.
Right.
You know, but the difference is about it is to really see the difference is whenever they begin to fly, so to speak, is when they begin to act and they begin to demonstrate who they are, because that is the motions of your flesh identifies the life that's on the inside. And the thought tonight is to abide in the nature of God, how God has a divine nature about him. Just as sure as a birds have a different nature, different homes have a different nature, God has a nature. Yeah. And you know, the thing about nature is, a man can, and I'm just going to push that thing to the side because I don't want it to distract me. But you know, the thing about a person is a person can have a horse. And let's have a horse for an example. And this horse, you can train it from a small horse all the way to a big horse, and you can make that horse love you. Right. You know what I mean by making it love you? You can conduct yourself, you can train it in such a way where that horse will love you. But you know what? That horse can never take your nature. Right. Because your nature, all you can do is make him a good-natured horse, but he can never take your nature, no more than a dog. You can take a dog. You can train the dog. You can have that dog stay in your presence all it wants to. He is still a dog. His nature is a dog. But you know, God has got a divine nature. God wants to be with his people. But just being in the presence isn't enough. It's got to be a transformation of the inside. And God will actually change your nature. Well, you'll actually have his nature. How awesome is that? There's sometimes I wish I could give my nature to my dog. He'd act a little better sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? God, I believe he probably feels the same way about us, you know. But God has a nature about him. And we're reading scriptures about how you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what? There is a real you of who you really are. That devil just fighting every way possible tonight. We'll just get that out of the way. There. Tablets out of the way. Watches out of the way. We might end up with our shoes off too. We'll see. You know what? There is a real you. There's somebody on the inside of you that's the real you. And you know, in a washing machine has a center point of that washing machine. And what it is, it's a weight inside of it, and it allows that washing machine to go forward, backwards, side to side, do everything it's got to do. And it has to do that because it's washing your clothes. It causes a vibration. It's moving forward, backwards. But there's a centerpiece inside that washing machine, no matter how far forward it goes, backwards it goes, sideways it goes,
talking to him just for a few minutes. And that presence of the Lord just drops down. And he began to automatically start speaking. He said, I don't want to do the things like I've been doing. He said, I don't want to be bad to my parents. I don't want to be doing these things. What was it that made him start saying that?
Come on.
Yeah.
There was a presence.
Right, right.
And that presence being right beside that man, he said automatically, I don't want to be like this to my parents. I don't want to be rebellious against them. I don't want to break the rules of the day. He said, for some reason, I keep going astray. What made him say that? It was the presence of the Lord in the midst. And being in that presence, what it was telling him, that is not who you are.
Right.
These mistakes in your life is not who you are. It reminds me of when the prophet of God talked about whenever he was with the Africans, the people that had no clothes on whatsoever, he didn't have to say one single thing about being naked. The presence of the Lord come down and they automatically start covering themselves. Brother and sister, it is having the presence of the Lord. It's walking under the shadow of the Almighty, where you have a true identity of who you are. And brother and sister, to manifest who that nature is, that means you have to abide in the nature of God. That means abide in His Word. God shows you in the Word how to walk precepts. You know, sometimes it can look like rules. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. And it can make Brother Daniel or Brother Tony or Brother Josh sound like, well, here they come, beat me up again. You know, we pray we never want that ever to be that. Can you say amen? We don't ever want it to be that, brother and sister. But what it is, God knows there's certain things that you can do and you can become successful.
Right.
And there's certain things that you can do that can sure take you completely away. Mm-hmm. As I was saying, there's a center point of who you are. Have you ever noticed how you can go to nature? All of a sudden, your mind starts thinking about what? Who I am. Mm-hmm. You can go to the books out there and read what they'll say. They say, go to nature and you find yourself again. That's just a perversion, brother or sister, of what we are. Whenever we can go to nature, because it shuts everything off.
Right.
Shuts everything down where you're just looking at the sunshine. You're looking at the pretty stuff. You're looking at the tree. You're looking at the birds the way they're flying. And you begin to think about the simplicity of life.
Right.
That God has called it to be. But man makes it so complicated.
Yeah.
Because we're constantly running around trying to do these things, trying to do that. You know, brother, the prophet talked about it's a divine love that we have to where God is love. It is such a love. Now catch this. It's such a love. You love God so much, you believe Him. Mm-hmm. It's something about a husband and a wife. What is it that makes a couple? What is it that why you can trust what they say to you? It's because you love them.
Amen.
And you know what? That's a brother and sister. That is the greatest force that we have is love. That's whenever we love one another. And I want to take the scripture. I don't mean to take that out of context, but I think it'll get my point across. Whenever Jesus had to tell Peter one time, get behind me, Satan. I believe Jesus loves Peter. Now, I want you to catch the thing I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to take a scripture out of context. I'm trying to make a point. Sometimes your brother or your sister may say something out of character, say something wrong. When in those times, say, get behind me, Satan. What I mean by that is, that's not the real brother and sister.
Right.
Remember that. That is not my brother. That is not my sister. If I hear something said, that is not my brother. That is not my sister. But I have recording. They said it. I don't care. I know the identity of my brother and my sister, and that's not it.
Amen.
And brother and sister, that's what the greatest thing we can ever do is have love one for another and forgive one another. You know, I don't have the scripture, and I didn't read it tonight, but I would love to find it again. I remember studying it several years ago. And we'll say to the best of my knowledge. Okay? It says something to the effect of, don't ever cause judgment on somebody else for something they've said about you, because you know oftentimes you've thought worse than that about them.
Right.
Sure.
Brother and sister, take what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to make a new Bible. I'm trying to say, remember, if you ever hear something that's said, you know, I heard they said this. How many times have you had thoughts of that and worse come through your mind?
Right.
Brother and sister, I didn't even plan on going this route, but praise the Lord anyhow. God, the greatest force He's given us is love. That's whenever you can love one another, to where you can look beyond their faults, beyond their failures, and you see the real identity of who they are.
Right.
Amen? Because the devil will do his best. I mentioned a few services ago, his best
What the thing will do is try to take your confidence out of from out of your confidence of your brother and your sister.
Right.
He will fight to take your confidence out of yourself between one another. He will try to come between marriage. He'll try to come between father and daughter and son and daughter and mother and father. He will try to come against between friends. He will try to bring complexes between one another, brother and sister. But what is it that can melt every bit of that way? Love. You can have love, brother and sister. I can remember times me and my wife, now I know none of you have ever done this before. I'm just going to have to confess it. My wife and I have had times that we've had arguments.
My.
I know. Brother John said, pathetic. we in this life, there will be times when you have friction between one another. And you know what? We have found the greatest source that we have. It's not for her to realize I'm right. It's not for me to realize she's right. It's whenever we can just take one another, brother and sister.
Right.
And we can hug one another.
Right.
And then we realize it don't matter who's right.
Right.
He's right. Yeah. I love you. You love me.
Yep.
Is that an agreement?
Right.
Yes. I love you. I love you. Nothing else matters. Amen. And brother and sister, our goal is to get to that other side. It don't matter about the bickers and the fights and all this junk like that. We've got one goal, brother and sister.
Amen.
I want to go home.
Amen.
I want my family to go home. I want you to go home.
Yes, sir.
I'm so sick of seeing my family hurting, going through sicknesses, having to go through surgeries, having to go through heart scans and things like that. I'm so sick of that. I'm ready to go home.
Yeah.
And you know what? There is a love over there that's calling me. Brother Brim said it's a deep call to the deep. If there is a call for more of something, there's more of it to be had. And I have a call inside me for a love, for a unity, brother and sister, as never before. But what will it come from? It's abiding in God's nature.
Amen.
God's nature is love. God's nature is holy. Amen. There's a nature inside of a home, and we must make sure our nature is filtered by the Word. And we're saying, and I want to read back to the Scripture in just a moment, talking about how we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I really want to just take this Scripture, and we're going to put this old tool of the devil to the side for tonight. Those things can be the tree of knowledge, good and evil.
Right?
It's evil tonight.
Right.
You know, let's take the Scriptures. I don't mean to be funny, but I think it's good to smile in church, especially
yeah.
if you're tired. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's just take the Scripture just for a few minutes. He that dwelleth in the secret of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is it to dwell in the secret of His tabernacle? It is whenever you hear the Word and you are dwelling under that Word. To dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That means you are thinking on the Word. You're meditating on the Word. You're saying, Lord, what does this Word really mean? What does the Scripture really mean? What's the prophet trying to say? What's my pastor trying to say? What's the preacher trying to say? And whenever you're thinking about that, you're meditating on that, you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Because you're meditating under God's precepts. You're meditating. What does this mean? You know, whenever you're at home and the Lord will give you a scripture and you read a Bible, you read a scripture out of the Bible, and you're thinking about that. You're meditating on what are you doing? You are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Whenever you are dwelling under the, how important is it to meditate on the Word?
Yeah.
Amen. We must retain the Word in our knowledge, because the devil, he will try to fill your head with stuff.
Right.
No, the Scripture says whatever is holy, you think on these things.
Right.
It meditates, what we think on, what we dwell on, it matters so much. You know, if a person's thinking about friction and talking about a bunch of arguing all the time, you will become that, because that is not God's nature. God is not in divisions. God is not in frictions. God is in harmony. Let's go to verse 2, Kevin. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. What does it mean? What does it mean that He is my refuge? What does it mean in Him will I trust? It means whenever, not if, whenever trials come against you, there is a resting place for you and I.
Right.
It's under the shadow of the Almighty. It's whenever we can take the Word, not think about what we can reach out there, but God, what from the depths of your Word, how can I get through this trial that I'm going through? Because whenever you're meditating upon that, you're trusting in Him. You're not trusting in what you can do. You're saying, God, I need you. Let's go to the next verse.
Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Who? God's going to cover you. Whenever you are dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, whenever you are meditating on the Word, when you're meditating, when you're listening to the tape, you're reading your Bible, you're praying to God, you are dwelling under the shadow of Almighty, and when you do these things, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. What shall be your truth? Your shield? His truth. That means whenever you're holding His truth, because you're not looking at anything else. His Word says, by His stripes, I am healed. His Word says, I am Jehovah Jireh. I will provide all your needs. His truth is that, because that's all you're looking at is His truth, and you're not looking at anything else. Is that right? Go to the next scripture. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Have you ever noticed it says ETH on the end of that? That's a continual arrow that's going to continually come at you. Right. The devil will continually come after you. The devil will continually come after you, but God will continually be the shadow.
Amen.
God will continue. No matter what the devil... What are you saying, Brother Daniel? When one person gets healed, somebody else will need surgery. When they get done with their surgery, somebody else will need surgery. When you get one child finally healed from being sick, what happens? The next one got the sniffles. You get one bill paid, what? Another bill's here.
Right.
It's a continual. What is it? It is a fight. Yeah. It's a struggle. Life is a struggle.
Right.
But even though we're in a struggle, we can dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah. That means no matter what comes before me, I don't know how we're going to do it. But He said He will be my feathers.
Yeah.
He said He will provide all my needs. Through COVID, it looked impossible. How will we make it through this? With COVID coming on, under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
We dwelt under Him, we stayed under Him, we meditated on His Word. God proved, I am still with you.
Come on.
There may be something worse than COVID coming next year.
Come on.
He's still our refuge.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No matter what comes, listen to me. It's so good to remind you to put these things in our pouch to remember when the trials come. He said, He will not leave me.
Right.
He will put His feathers about me. Amen? Because we're abiding in His nature.
Right.
Amen? Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall to thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Amen.
Brother and sister, in the little short time that I've been serving the Lord, there's been many. By God's grace,
Amen.
He's allowed me to keep moving forward.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
What was the answer before? How? Because you're dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty.
Right.
It is so important to dwell under the shadow of this message. Not that the shadow, not that the message is dark, but it's the shadow makes an image.
Yeah.
Is that right? If I put my hand down there, it makes an image. And that shadow is representing something. And the message represents everything that Christ was. It's a magnifying glass to it, brother and sister. Whenever we will walk under this message and meditate on this message, walking in the shadow of the Almighty in the secret place. And I'm talking about in the secret time, brother and sister. This kept hitting me so hard today. This little thought right here. It is so important for us to dwell in that secret place to where God can come and speak to you personally. Where God can reveal Himself to you personally. Because as I was saying earlier, the real you is that one is the thing that you always come back to. You'll go through trials. You'll go forward. You'll go this way. You'll go this way. But you always come back to that center point of who you are. My job, there's sometimes in my job where the guys will not appreciate the work that I do. And there's something inside me that says, you know what? I'm not going to take good pictures. I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, I can't do that. Because you know why? Because of who I am.
Right. Come on.
I'm trying to say something here.
Come on,
if you catch it. There's sometimes, you know, in the world, it makes you say, you know what, I ought to act like this because they're acting like that. But you can't do it. Why? Your nature.
Yeah.
Your nature of who you are won't allow you to do those things.
Right.
Your flesh says, you ought to strike back. You ought to do these things. Brother Tony talked one time about somebody, he had a hurt arm. I believe it was you that had a hurt arm. Had the hurt arm, and somebody went to go pour I don't want to be just like a horse with an owner where I'm around him and I'm friends with him.
Right.
I want the nature inside me.
Yeah.
Amen. The disciples could come to, when they were walking with Jesus, they could put their arms around him, they could hug him, they could do all those things, but that's as close as they could get.
Right.
But whenever Jesus Christ, he said, it is expedient for you that I must go that the Comforter can come back.
Right.
And whenever, because whenever that Comforter, whenever Jesus was with them, he couldn't come inside of them, he could just be around them. But whenever Jesus Christ went through the process of death and his Holy Spirit come down, it was able to come inside the man. And you can change your nature of who you are. You know, yesterday they would have the bloods and bulls and goats, and they would cover the sin. But you know what? The desire was still there. If a man had stole a donkey or whatever he stole, and he was guilty of stealing that. Imagine that, a guy stealing a donkey.
Come on.
But you know what? He come up there. All he could do is say, "I'm sorry, Lord," and put his burnt offering there, and it would cover the sin. But he still had the desire to steal donkeys or whatever he was still trying to steal. It's the first thing that came to mind.
Come on.
Bald headed donkey beat him. If he had a problem with stealing something like that,
come on.
The problem is still there.
That's right.
And I say that because you know sometimes the complexes people have is over the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
Drinking a can of beer. That's the dumbest thing.
Come on.
That's dumber than stealing a donkey. Donkey, you can actually work him or sell and make money off of it, you know. But you know what? If you stole something, you went there with your offering. You say, "Lord, forgive me." That blood would cover you, but your desire for stealing, your desire for lusting, your desire for doing, it was still there because it could not change your nature. But whenever, because an animal can't mix, an animal blood can't mix with a human blood. But when God become flesh, he becomes a kinsman redeemer. That's whenever he become a man. And that's when God can come and he can change our nature.
Amen.
He can not only forgive you, destroy your sin, he can change our nature.
Amen.
And give us his nature. Amen.
Amen.
Don't that make you feel good?
Amen.
You know, on the inside, it's from the inside out, I am the Lamb. Amen? I am the Lamb. I'm a little one, but I'm still a Lamb.
Right.
I'm a Messiah-et. I'm a small one, but I'm still a Messiah-et.
Right.
All the authority that he had inside him when he spoke the word, I've got the same authority.
Yeah.
Amen? I'm a little one. Them boys are little Josh's, but he marked them good. You can see them afar off. And the more they move, they'll be, yep, that's Josh. I'm telling you what, that's the way it is with God Messiah-ets, brother and sister.
Right.
You are little Messiah-ets. You are little gods.
Right.
You are little gods. God called you. You are a son of God. A dog has babies. What's he have? It's puppies. A cat has babies. It's kittens.
Right.
What's God have? Sons of God. Amen? Little bitty gods. Messiah-ets. We're little licks of that same fire. Those are little bitty licks of that little fire right there. I got a few of them in here, and I marked them pretty good myself. We're pretty good markers, brother. God is too. God marked us good. God marked us where my uncle. He's my buddy's manager. He was walking through Walmart one time. Somebody said, "You're cold, ain't you?" He's looking at the other. He said, "You're cold, ain't you?" He said, "What do you mean?" "Am I cold?" That's what I thought. I knew you was. I took from your forehead. There was an identification about him that showed where he come from. And brother and sister, God marked us where there is identification about us that represents where we come from.
Amen.
I believe the Shunammite woman, whenever she saw the man of God, Elisha, walking by her house, she saw an identification about that man. There was something about it that caught her eye, and it caused her to have respect to it. And because she had respect to that, God was able to answer her prayer. Amen? I'm going somewhere with that. If we will respect the spirit that's in a man, the anointing that's on a man, you're respecting God.
Right.
To disrespect a man with the anointing is you're disrespecting God. Whenever the children of Israel, whenever they rejected Samuel, it wasn't Samuel that rejected, it was God that rejected.
Yeah.
And whenever a word has been preached to this world, brother and sister, seven times around the world, it was an anointing going around this world. Where people had an opportunity, there was something inside them that could have looked and saw the lick of fire and said, "That's God." They had every opportunity to do that and build a room on the side of their house for it to dwell there. it was their attitude towards that determined whether they'd get it. But here, there was one little woman. She heard Brother Branham talking about the third pool. She said, "It ain't nothing but the truth." And said, "You ask what you will, and it will be given to you." What was it? She was dwelling in the nature of God. She was dwelling because it wasn't Brother Branham. It was God. It was an anointing on the man that come on him. And whenever the man leaves, the spirit stays. So we don't need the man, Brother Branham, to come back. The spirit is still here. Can you say amen? The Holy Ghost is still here.
Yes, sir.
I'm walking in it. You're walking in it. The same, imagine that, the same anointing that spoke to Lazarus and Lazarus, come forth, is the same spirit that's here tonight. The same voice that did that is the one that calls you to pray. Catch this now. That same authority voice that said, "Lazarus, come forth." And I don't believe he had to shout. He could have just whispered it. It would have happened. Because it's the authority of the man. I remember Brother Tony years and years ago was a Keogh to Full Gospel. First time, that's the first time I ever heard you preach, Brother Tony. He said, and there was this big man walking up here. And he said, "I'm sitting in a seat right here." And he walked up to the front of me and he said, "I want your seat." He said, he had to say it with a loud voice. He'd say, "I want your seat." He said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him the seat. I'm going to get out of his way." Because it's the authority of that man that he saw. Brother and sister, that's the way it is with you and I. When we walk with under the shadow of the Almighty, we don't have to scream. Now, I scream because I'm an emotional person. You don't have to scream.
That's right.
You can just simply speak the word.
Amen.
You can whisper the word. You ever heard this? You ever heard the voice of a sunshine, the sunrise? You don't hear it, but I'm telling you what, there's impact there, brother and sister. Then what makes that sun do that is that sun, catch this now, what makes that sun be an overcomer over the darkness? You know what, I'm talking about the S-U-M. You know what makes that sun overcome the darkness? It's just being what it is.
Yeah.
All he's got to do is be what it is, brother and sister. And when he does that, the earth just rotates right around. And as that earth rotates, it just moves stuff out of the way. Brother and sister, if we will just be who we are. Listen to me. There is nobody can be you like you.
Right.
You can be the best. If I try to preach like Brother Tony, I would stumble all over myself and everything else, and him likewise me. Or if I'd preach like Brother Josh, there ain't no way I'd preach like that, brother.
Oh, come on now.
Nobody can do it. You know what? He's the best him. Brother Tony is the best him. I'm the best me. But brother and sister, it's the same thing for you. There is nobody that can be you like you. Whenever you will walk under the shadow of the mighty, when you will walk in the spirit, when you will pray, when you say, "God, I love you. God, I just want to be in your presence. God, I hear you." And you're feeling that spirit, and you're walking in that spirit, and you begin to feel something to check you. And you say, "I don't want to go that way anymore," because you start feeling something. What is it? You're walking in the spirit.
Right.
Whenever you, the more you can do that, brother and sister, catch this. If you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, when you're filled in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit of God, if you start hearing a conversation going a certain way and you start feeling checked, move back away from that.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're learning to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Whenever we get it, thoughts start getting negative, start talking about that, you start feeling uncomfortable feeling. It's not you that's feeling uncomfortable. It's Him that's feeling uncomfortable. It's God. It's His Spirit. It's His nature. Brother and sister, we must dwell in the nature of the Almighty. Dwell in the nature of God, where we're saying, "Lord, I just want to be in your presence." And I'm here to tell you, you do that, brother and sister, you will walk straight into your body change.
Yeah.
You will walk right into your rapture.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's not walking with an air pump trying to pump yourself up all the time. You'll wear yourself smooth out. Trust me. You'll wear yourself out. Oh, I got it. Praise God, I got the victory.
Right.
I got the victory. Praise God. Praise God. You don't want to live a life like that, from one camp to the next camp. You're pumping yourself up. But brother and sister, we're talking on a daily basis. You can walk under the shadow of the Almighty, under the anointing of God, to where you are listening to His voice on a daily basis.
Right,
you're listening. You're walking and you're hearing God speaking to you. God will give you a scripture. You know what? Let me give you a real quick answer. Boys, listen to this. This is real important. If you'll just listen to what they're saying. You want to get a mommy and daddy's good side? Just listen to what they say.
Amen.
That's what you got to do. My kids, we were talking the other day. So remember when Dad would say, "Just be good. That's all you got to do. Just be good." Remember that? I remember a time that I told Elijah, "Elijah, sit on your hands." But we're going down the road.
That poor boy be sitting on his hands. I forget all about it. Be 2 hours down the road. He'd be like, Dad, can I get off my hands? Can you be good?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I think God wants to do that. Sit us on our hands. Just be good. When His Spirit comes down, brother and sister, and God begins to talk to you, just be good. Listen to what He's trying to say to you.
Right.
Because if you'll do that, brother and sister, God will show you more. He will teach you. The more you do something, the better you're at it. And listen to me, that's the way it is with marriage. When you first get started getting married, brother and sister, it's kind of hard. You kind of bump heads a little bit. You're learning one another. Well, when you begin your walk with the Lord, brother and sister, it's kind of that same way. You start bumping stuff because you're learning. But the more you're with one another, the more you understand one another, and you become one.
Right.
And before too long, you'll be thinking, you'll be finishing other their sentences.
That's true.
Then before too long, they won't have to speak it. They'll say something. You're like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's the way it is with God, brother and sister.
Yes, sir.
The more you walk under the shadow of the Almighty, you will begin to think His thoughts.
That's right.
His thoughts will be your thoughts. Amen. Amen. His desires will be your desires. Whenever you're ready to go from the fellowship because you're tired, they will too. Because you're one. Amen? Or not just fellowship. I'm talking about like whatever it is.
Come on.
Yeah. I can look at my wife and she knows I'm ready to go. She said, she'll text me and say, you ready? And she'll say, yep. She said, yeah, me too. No. Now, you ever put yourself in a hole? Like, how did I get myself in here? You know, you can be with one another and you love one another. But the more you're with one another, the more you think about one another. And the more you understand one another. And you realize, you know, when I'm fixing to go, Lord willing, Friday, I'm going to South Carolina to go to a special meeting. Now, I'm not going to have to go to my wife and she guard me by the neck and say, now, Mr. Daniel Black, let me tell you something. Don't you be looking at no women when you're over there. Don't you be doing this, don't you be doing that, don't you be doing this. Well, let me tell you, Mrs. Black, while I'm gone, don't you be looking at no other brothers either. I don't have to do that because right. I love her so much.
Right.
I would never do that. And she loves me so much, she would never do that. But I do believe if I was to fall by some hideous way, and I would never do it, but if I ever did fall, I believe she would forgive me. It would absolutely break her. But she'd forgive me. And vice versa. If she was to fall, I would forgive her. It would break me. But I would forgive her. Though she would never do it, though I would never do it.
Right.
Brother and sister, that's the way it is with God. Mm-hmm. Though you would never want to break the word. Though you would never want to offend the Holy Spirit. Though you would never want to make mistakes. But if you did... And though you don't want to, but you say, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do it, Lord. Lord, I didn't mean to fall. I didn't mean to go astray, God. I didn't mean to do these things, Lord. He would forgive you. Though you never want to do it in the first place. Brother and sister, that's what I'm talking about. When you're abiding in the nature of God, it's whenever you're serving God by love.
Amen.
And not because you're a fear. If I do this, he's going to throw me to hell or he's going to throw me in the great tribulation period. That's not why we do it. We do it because we love him.
Amen.
Right. Amen. And remember that the next time you fall, the next time you trip and you fall on your face, remember that it's not you that's keeping you. It's him that's
Amen.
Keeping you.
Amen.
Amen. It's him. You never went looking for God. God came looking for you.
Yes,
God
sir.
Went looking for Adam.
That's right.
And that's the way it is with us, brother and sister. It's always God come knocking at your heart.
That's right.
God calling you to talk to him. God calling you to pray to him. And whenever you make those mistakes, whatever it may be, now you may be perfect, don't have mistakes, but Brother Daniel does. I have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I did it. I'm sorry, Lord. And he is so merciful to pick me right back up, wipe me off, clean my face off, knock the mud off of me, put me right back on my race, and put me right back towards my, and show me where to run again. And that's what God wants to do with you now. Let's all stand. Let's abide in God's nature.
Yes.
And just a few things I just wanted to leave, but just before closing, okay? Just a couple of points to remember. Let's remember there's a real person of who I am. Have you ever noticed that the real person of who you are, and sometimes you may display something and you're like, why did I say that? Why did I do that? and you just absolutely kick yourself for it. You'll kick yourself all the way up because you know your intention of what you tried to say, and it didn't come out right. Your action didn't come out. Remember, there's a real center point of who you are. And listen, there's a real center point of who your brother and your sister is.
Right.
And you have to remember, give them that same grace that whenever they did something, or they did something wrong, or they did this, or they did that, no matter what it was, there's a center point of really who they are.
Right.
And that's who we love. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. There's a bad side to everybody. You know, we don't want to show the hinder parts. We want to look at the good parts. There's a certain look that my wife has that still melts me every time she gives it. And I can't even explain it. But there's a look that she has. That's the center point of who she is. And listen to me. There's a center point of who you are that God sees. And you have a center point of you that I want to see. And there's a center point in me that I want you to see inside me. You say, amen. There's a center point, and let's look at that.
Amen. Amen.
Let's just all bow our heads. And ask your musicians to come forth, if you don't mind. We'll just play a song. Lord, I know it was just a simple, chopped-up message tonight. And Lord, the tablet failed me, Lord, but I just spoke straight to my heart like talking to family tonight. And Lord, you know I never wanted to say anything, Lord, offensive, Lord. Lord God, I love these precious brothers and sisters, and I know that they love me. But most of all, Lord, we all love you, Lord. And Lord, we desire your presence in our midst. We desire you in our life.
Yes.
We just want to commit everything to you. We want to abide in your nature, Lord, that your nature will become our nature. Your thoughts will become our thoughts, Lord. And Lord God, we want to give grace for one another, Lord. Grace for ourselves, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name.